Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here. Lakers Fast Break, also as well, don't forget, Joe Soros here as well. Simblades with a Y.com. Also, make sure you go ahead and check them out as Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. Our good friends out there. Hey, what's going on, Raphael? Great to have you here. Make sure you go ahead and check out our good friends, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, the Lakerholics crew, John Costa with Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. He'll actually be doing a show live on the Lakers Fast Break channel tomorrow at 2:30. I just put it in there. So go ahead and check out John Costa's thoughts on tomorrow night's big game for the Lakers and Kings. That's tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 as well. Don't forget Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, Yo, and the John McCallion channel. Please subscribe today to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break podcast. Well, we're back here. Wanted to go ahead and make sure everybody knows that the game tomorrow is really, really important for the Lakers, that they go ahead and get the win on the road in Sacramento. Tomorrow night, we'll be covering it all, of course, right here on the Lakers Fast Break. But the reason why I want to go ahead and make sure everybody knows that is because, again, after what happened last week, we really need this win to go ahead and, just in case, as a tiebreaker, be able to go ahead and still have a chance to hop over Sacramento in the Western Conference standings. I know it'll take a little bit more than a win tomorrow night, but a win tomorrow night will certainly go a long way towards the Lakers' chances on moving up in the Western Conference standings. And here today to talk about that, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out again as Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. And, of course, Simblades, the company he owns, Simblades with a Y.com. It is Joe Soro. And, Joe, glad to have you here. We're thinking about meeting on Thursday as opposed to what Darren was talking about. Darren told us about a good place in here in Carlsbad, and thought maybe you think on Thursday, maybe people up out there, if you live in the San Diego, Carlsbad area, might not join us on Thursday? Yeah, knock out pizza?
Who lives in San Diego in this joint?
That's the thing. I don't know if we get too many people from San Diego. If we do, give us a big shout out in the chat. Lakers Fast Break. And again, we might you might see us if we're out and about Carlsbad on Thursday afternoon. We'll go ahead and set the time here.
I probably should have a fixed time by tomorrow.
Okay.
And I try to not have lunch when all the other heathens are having lunch. Usually 1 o'clock is when everyone starts to go back to their slave jobs, whereas we would be going in at the right time.
You word that so well. Yeah. I'm sure everybody appreciated that. But yeah, think about it. I'll tell you what, if you are in the San Diego area and you're interested in stopping by here in Carlsbad, let us know and we'll go ahead and set something up for Thursday afternoon at Knockout Pizza that Darren suggested, our good friend Darren indeed. So it is the Lakers and Kings. Joe, very important game. Obviously a lot of things to consider, but the first thing I'd like them to consider is figuring out a way to defend De'Aaron Fox a lot better, because he and Malik Monk went off last week on them. What can they do to prevent that from happening again and getting the victory tomorrow night in Sacramento?
They would need to do what they did to Anthony Edwards the other night. I'd say it would help that if Anthony Davis can eliminate the Sabonis issue out of his way, at least for one game, because that's a problem. Anytime Anthony Davis can't contain or control his fellow big man opponent, the Lakers start falling apart, especially on the perimeter, especially with their defense in general. So that's where the anchor is going to need to anchor tomorrow. The Kings waxed Milwaukee tonight. They are going to be on a back-to-back or the back end of a back-to-back. So I don't know if for a young team like that, I don't know if that really makes a big of a difference. But the Lakers did have a couple days off here. So we know that usually when there's two or three games in between the next game or two or three days between the next game, you can see LeBron run a little faster. We're going to need LeBron to be going to the basket, LeBron, to keep the Kings on their heels. I think that's really where you need to start. Make Fox work. Make Monk work on the defensive end. If you can do that, they're not going to have as much energy on the offense because they didn't give him any resistance either way in the last game. That's why they got whooped.
I do also want to clarify about the status of Gabe Vincent. Gabe Vincent has been cleared for non-contact duty, so he's back out on the court. Jared Vanderbilt is still a ways off. He has not been cleared as of yet, so at least we can start thinking about Gabe Vincent somewhere down the road. Your thoughts on Gabe Vincent and what he can give us here, maybe coming up here by the so probably 2 weeks from now, maybe? Probably end of next week, maybe, at the earliest?
Nothing. I'd say okay. Nothing. You don't need to see too many players who miss 70 games during the year come back in the end and make a difference. His NBA stamina is not going to be there. He's going to be playing cautiously. I don't know what his benefit at this point would be. It's worth a shot to throw him in there because you have no other option, but I don't see him doing anything that would matter in the end.
So Sabonis is obviously a big deal. You know, Jeremy has been talking about it in the chat. I know it's something of great concern for us as far as the way Sabonis has dominated AD on the inside. I want to know exactly if you think that tomorrow, coming off the great performance by AD, he can take some of that momentum from the 27 point, 25 rebound, seven steals, five assists, three blocks game. If he could take that momentum from such a great game forward and try to provide some of that, let's say the rebounding, if he can give us some of that against Sabonis and get him off the boards and slow him down, that can go a long way towards a Laker win on Wednesday.
It's more of the mental part, too. It's the positioning. It's the aggressiveness that stops when he plays the bigger, more talented bigs. AD's going to have to go a little bit out of his comfort zone to figure out if he can play again. I mean, it's hard to look at someone like Anthony Davis and have him getting worked by someone like Sabonis. I think he's much more talented than he is. And nine games in a row, that's not good. That's not good at all. I'd like to think that some kind of pride will kick in here for AD and he'll start changing this around. And that's where this starts. If he can do that, then that'll clear things up for the rest of the team to do what they need to do.
When it comes down to it, it is the Lakers fast break. And, of course, it's Joe Soro and Joe Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. Intel Wild says in the Super Chat, truly want to thank you for doing so. AD, make sure to dominate him tomorrow. That's the thing, Joe. I mean, we have seen him get dominated. In fact, we've seen the Lakers team get dominated, one win out of the last, what, eight? Are they 1-7? Just some ungodly. It's like the Lakers and the Clippers. The Kings have had the Lakers' numbers over the past couple seasons, at least. Your thoughts on if they can go ahead and, you know, what do they need to do to right this wrong, to turn this around, especially at a crucial moment where the Lakers need any win they can get?
It's called win the game. That's how you turn it around. And Dallas has won three in a row. The Kings have won two in a row. This is the problem when you put yourself in this position. Winning tomorrow helps, but there's still going to be a game back. I'm sorry, two games back. And the Lakers will have won three in a row, but the other teams ahead of them are still winning. It's a very difficult conference to jump regularly. There isn't going to be this 4 or 5 win in a row situation, and then the opponents ahead of you are going to lose, let's say, 3 out of 4, where you can make up a couple games during a week. It's hard. The Lakers are going to have to go on a run. I still say they have to finish the season 14-2 the rest of the way, which is not going to happen, to make it into the guaranteed slots between 5 and 6, which is now starting to look more like 6, because New Orleans is starting to separate themselves from the 6th seed. They're up 2 games in the loss column, and they've won 4 in a row.
Yeah, I don't think New Orleans is out of reach at this point. I think they are. They're just playing too well at this point. I think that they need to focus on, and even at this point, Dallas, I mean, look at them. They get the lucky break of not having to play Golden State with Stephen Curry in the lineup, whereas the Lakers on Saturday, wouldn't you know, Stephen Curry is cleared to go ahead and practice on Friday. Guess when he'll be playing? He'll be playing on Saturday against the Lakers, most likely, Joe.
Of course. And the conference is starting to shape up to what we have been discussing.
I know Frank mentioned that in the comments.
Yeah, it's gonna. Right now, Denver is tied with Oklahoma City for 1 and 2 in the standings. I predicted that Denver will eventually get the 1 seed. Minnesota, with Karl Anthony Towns being injured, are probably going to hover between 3 and 4. And Oklahoma City, I believe, will probably win enough to jump Minnesota as the 2nd seed. The Clippers had a bad situation today where Kawhi Leonard had back spasms. He actually had to leave the arena to go do tests, whatever. That's going to be a problem like it's been the last few years. I don't see Kawhi Leonard lasting the season again, whether it's his knee or his back. He's just not a healthy player. So the Clippers, should they try to, you know, they can still win without Kawhi. They probably for sure will be in the 4, and if New Orleans keeps winning, maybe they might be able to jump them, because they're only 2 games back in the loss column there. But the Clippers are likely going to finish 4 or 5. I believe Oklahoma City is going to finish 2nd, and then Minnesota, I think, will play well enough to stick at the 3. So right now I'm predicting Denver's going to be the 1, Oklahoma the 2, Minnesota the 3, and then if I'm going to go by the injury with Kawhi, if it's something that's going to take a while, I see New Orleans getting the 4 before the end of the season, and the Clippers will be the 5. And as far as how Phoenix, Sacramento, and Dallas play out, well, that's all a crapshoot. If one of those teams goes on a run the last week, any one of those can sit at the 6th seed and guarantee themselves a spot. The Lakers likely going to finish this playoff run unless they go on a run here. Like, I'm talking a serious run, 4 or 5 in a row. They're probably going to be in that 9-8 spot, likely 9, which means they're probably going to play Golden State in that first game, and then they got to play the winner of Sacramento and Dallas, which those are 2 scary games against teams that have guards that are very, very, very good. And if they go off, they are not going to beat them.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching. I truly appreciate it. Adam, Steph has been cleared for practice on Friday. So he will be back to practicing with the Golden State Warriors after the Mavs game, conveniently, which I'm sure Frank is glad about. And unfortunately, that probably means that for the Saturday nationally televised game against the Lakers, he'll be back on the court against the Lakers, most likely. And, you know, as it always is, they suddenly get healthy for the Lakers game. That always seems to be the case. But it is the Lakers fast break. Joe, again, a critical game tomorrow against the Kings. Malik Monk also went off. And I don't want to go ahead and discount anything that he did, because while, of course, we saw Sabonis dominate the boards in the last game that they played against the Lakers, of course, how we saw De'Aaron Fox go off against the Lakers, Malik Monk, you know, obviously we couldn't retain him because of, you know, what we were limited to go ahead and offer him as a contract. And of course, he jumped over to Sacramento, where he's fit in very well. Him coming off the bench has been a great plus for them, and it's a big part of their offense. What can the Lakers do? They just don't have anything coming off the bench that matches that kind of firepower.
No, especially considering tonight he played 28 minutes against a fairly good defensive team and dropped 25 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds. those are Kobe's. Those are Kobe's lifetime stats, 25, 5, and 5. And Malik Monk is likely going to be the sixth man of the year. He is a starter that's playing a six man because that's the best lineup for the Kings to win. And if you're going to stop these guys, you have to make them play the other side of the court. The Lakers had need to do that to lessen their fuel. They're not going to stop them on the offensive side because Mike Brown's offense is predicated on offense 1, 2, and 3. And they do it very well. And everyone knows their role. Everyone does their thing the way they're supposed to. And they play really, really, really well at home. Well, actually, they don't really play that well at home. They're actually 18 and 12. They play better on the road. But they will play really good at home against the Lakers. That's for sure. Because Golden One is Laker hater country. Arco Arena before it was the Laker hater of all stadiums, at least when I was
watching. Don't remind me of the Cowbells.
Yeah, it's the Lakers have to look themselves in the mirror, especially AD and LeBron, and say, we're Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Who are these guys? Who's De'Aaron Fox? Who's Malik Monk? You go interview 90% of the people in this country, and I don't know who the hell those guys are. They'll know who LeBron is, for sure. So LeBron and AD need to tighten up their shorts here and say, all right, I think it's time to return the favor from what they did before. And that's how you carry leadership to the other guys. You start that game going, look, we're going to whoop these guys in their own house as a reminder that they're still the Kings, and this is still Staples North.
JSJ, to answer your question, I think they might be rushing him back into service because of what they're standing in the Western Conference is, and the fact that they do have a game coming up against the Lakers. He will not be playing against the Mavs, but yeah, they may be rushing it back too soon. But then again, I mean, it's that time of the year. Everybody plays through those injuries if they can. We're seeing it with AD. We're seeing it with LeBron with his tender ankle. AD, you know, on the latest injury report, he is now listed as probable, Joe. No sign of the shoulder. It's his usual injury in regards to his groin area that they're listing. They're not even listing the shoulder injury anymore.
I don't know.
That might be good news.
I think his shoulder situation was just a freak thing that debilitated him for a little bit, but he was still well enough to be a distraction those last 10 minutes. I'm not going to worry about it. I don't think none of us need to worry about it.
Well, these guys are terrible. Joey, get ready for what we're calling the deadly nightcap if we win, because Intel is bribing you with more shots coming
that's
up tomorrow.
Okay. A little. That's, you know, if you're gonna call a show a nightcap, you better live about it. You better be about it.
That's crazy. It's crazy. Although, again, if anybody give us a big shout out if you are in the San Diego area, the Carlsbad area, because we'd love to see you on Thursday afternoon. Join us here at the Knockout Pizza that Darren suggested. But let us know if you are in San Diego and also the Carlsbad area. We'd love to have you over on Thursday, but that's afternoon. Looking, not sure of the time yet, but if you're interested, let us know. It is the Lakers Fast Break, Joe. Again, the shooting by D'Angelo Russell, obviously coming off that 44-point game over the weekend that he had on Friday night, absolutely outstanding. Wasn't so much of a factor the next game, obviously because LeBron and AD were there, but I think if you're going to have De'Aaron Fox go off for another 30 to 40-point game, Joe, you've got to have someone in the backcourt that's going to be able to go ahead and hit their share of shots along with it.
Yeah, and the Lakers need to go into this game understanding that they're going to have another two-game break between the next game. So I believe the Lakers are going to go all out tonight, tomorrow night, and try to really win this game and put a lot of effort in it and continue to try and see if they can get that seventh seed. This is getting very, very dangerous now. If they do not get the seventh seed in this last 16 games, they are going to risk having to play Denver should they get out of the play-in. Should they get out of the play-in. They have to get the seventh seed and they have to win the first game in that play-in. Because if you do, you will likely face the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. And that's a hell of a lot easier matchup than it would be Denver, because Denver probably takes the Lakers out in four or five.
Yeah,
they're not ready.
I'm not going to say differently right now.
Not ready to play them right in the first round. Now, some have argued, well, Joe, maybe it's best they play them in the first round because that's when LeBron and AD will be at their freshness. I don't know if I buy them that out.
Well, they remember for those play-ins, they come off those play-ins and then they get a short rest. They only get like 2 or 3 days rest before they go into the playoffs after the play-in matchup. So they won't be rested as much as people think. It's only for the teams that have been that actually make the first six spots that are getting the full week off, Joe.
I'm not too worried about the rest days at that point. The Lakers have to be looking at this next 16 games as a way to get the sixth or seventh seed, because they cannot get anything below that. If they get anything below that, all that work to get into the playoffs, whether it's a one game or a two game situation for them to win, they still then have to face the Denver Nuggets. And it's just not a good matchup, and it's, you don't see a lot of ones and eights lose in the first round. It's still a rare instance.
Yeah, I know Milwaukee had, got burned against Miami last year, but yeah, you're right. It more than likely it's not going to happen all that often. So I wouldn't count on it too much. So yes, if the Lakers can focus in on trying to get a matchup against the Oklahoma City Thunder in that first round, their chances are a lot better off than if they were to face the Nuggets early on. That's a tall order for the Lakers if they're going to go against the Nuggets in that first round.
It is. It's a bad matchup, and I'd rather face them in the Western Conference Finals if they were to face them. But I don't know if it's going to make a difference. I don't really. I'm going to need more here in the next 16 games to figure out what this team's going to end up doing. The current status is that they're probably not going to make it far. Yeah. You still have to roll with that. They would have to finish off this. Let's say they lose tomorrow, but it's competitive, but they win four in a row, the last four games at home, before they go on the road. And if they go on the road and win four out of six, now you're looking at those 10 games being an 8-2 run. That's probably going to get them the seventh seed at that point. Yeah, they have another, I think, five games left at that point. Let me look at their schedule here real quick.
Okay.
So after the road trip, they have another five games. They come back. They play three games, one against Cleveland, one against Minnie, and one against Golden State, which is still formidable teams. And then they finish the year off in Memphis and in New Orleans. Memphis, obviously an easy team. New Orleans, in New Orleans, it's going to be a tough team. They're going to earn it. If they can get the seventh or sixth seed, they're going to earn it. But I think we all know that it's very likely going to be either an eight at best or a nine.
Yeah, they're just right now. There's with 16 games left, Joe. It's just asking to two games. I can see them making up two games, Joe, but asking them to do three or four in 16 games in the Western Conference, that's a lot to ask, Joe.
Yeah. And if they were to accomplish it, are they going to burn themselves out getting into the playoffs that way?
Yeah.
But you have no choice at this point. There is no choice. You've made this bet. You have to go all out now. You have to risk it at this point. If you come up lame in the end, it doesn't matter. You cannot punt. You cannot waste a game the rest of the way, no matter what. You can calculate not playing LeBron in the Memphis game, let's say, or the Atlanta game, or the Washington game. Yeah, you can do that. But make sure you win those games. Make sure you win those games. Otherwise, losing those games, losing any game they're not supposed to win, or they're supposed to win, I should say, is going to be pretty much the nail in the coffin for them in terms of having to win two play-in games to go to the next level.
We'll find out what happens, but it is the Lakers and the Kings. Looking forward to going ahead and, you know, showing everybody up on Playback, playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. I'll try to see if we can make sure it's on the simulcast as well to YouTube and Facebook. Of course, that'll be the stream from the playback.tv. It will not be the actual game stream for everybody out there. It's just the playback stream of our chat, but still, it's a great time indeed. You'll get to go ahead and follow along with this as far as the scoreboard is concerned, but also as well, the post-game. Best post game that's out there is the Lakers Fast Break. And of course, your night and your evening is topped off by the Lakers nightcap with Joe Soro. Might be the last nightcap he does. Way Intel is trying to get him on that, I'll tell you. But we'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow as the Lakers and the Kings meet up in a crucial game. I mean, Joe, at this time, this team, this starting five is 9-3. But the thing that concerns me is the Lakers, even though they've been playing better defense in the second half, they've not been able to, as of yet, put four quarters of good defense together. Even the last game where they held the Timberwolves to 109, they did give up 60, almost 70 points in that first half. So is there any way they could go ahead and just – I know putting four – quarters of defense against the Kings in Sacramento is not an option, but a good half. Can we put a good half together so that we can go ahead and again get the victory in Sacramento?
Good half is not going to be enough. They're going to need to play four quarters.
Well, it could have one of those situations where, like we've seen in the past couple games, from the first half they have the shootout, they both go over 60 points, and then the second half they really need to, as they have been, you know, just getting down on defense a little bit stronger in the second half.
What's happened in the last two games is they've stayed steady with the teams until they've separated themselves a little bit. In the Milwaukee game, they didn't really separate, but you know what I mean. The offensive efficiency has gotten better. Their offense looks amazing. I'll admit that. As far as their defense, they're never going to play four quarters of defense, playing offense the way they are. That's not going to work because there's not enough energy there and there's not enough depth on this team to play that way.
Yeah.
It's a matter of the big players doing what they're supposed to do. LeBron going to the basket. AD playing good defense against his opponent that's going to be talented. There's too many talented bigs, and there's levels to it. You have the MVP types, Jokic, Embiid, You have the very good players like Sabonis. Sabonis is double-double stats this year are taking him to maybe a little bit above very good. The Sengun from Houston, you know, those big players that can play in and around the rim, those seem to give him the fits because they're big, they're bigger than him, they weigh more than him, and they have a better base than AD. He can't really buckle down on those guys, and they push him around. And he's not made to be pushed around. He's still more a finesse guy than a power guy. But he's going to have to use his finesse, speed, and talent to get around that. That's a mental thing. This is a mental thing with AD. It's not a physical thing. He has the talent to work around that. He just needs to do it. As far as the guard play, stopping those guys, De'Aaron Fox just matches up very well against the Lakers. He's going to go off. Malik Monk.
Yeah.
He's having that year where he's going to win Sixth Man of the Year, likely, as long as he finishes the year out. And he's that guy. He is De'Aaron Fox off the bench. When De'Aaron doesn't play, when he's playing with De'Aaron, then he's essentially his clone beating up the opponent together.
I like what Alan said in the chat in regards to possibly having Rui play a decent share of the minutes on Sabonis so that AD can just maybe roam off of him. Because if Barnes is not shooting well, it does make him less effective as far as Harrison Barnes is concerned. So that allows AD maybe to roam a little bit more. Your thoughts on that possibly happening?
Barnes usually hits shots against us, except in the last game. Last game, I didn't really see too much, and it didn't matter.
No,
I wouldn't say Barnes is going to be the X factor in any way. He could be a problem, but if you talk to Kings fans, then he was one of those guys they wanted out of there. It's a simple focus here at this point. You got to have the two guys, the two stars, continue to do what they do best. And AD is going to have to make sure he can box out a little bit more aggressively here against Sabonis, or Sabonis is going to have rebounds left and right. The other guy was Nurkic. That was the other player I was thinking about. Nurkic is freakishly big, and you don't notice it until you see him next to another big guy, and he had 22 rebounds against the Lakers. There's a theme going on here where you have the Nurkic, you have Jokic, you have Embiid when he was playing, obviously, Sabonis, Sengun. These guys all play very well against the Lakers because there is some issues with AD in terms of not being able to just stay with his guy because he's doing so other things. It's not an excuse. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
But I think they need to just allow – I think those rebounds are more important than De'Aaron Fox dropping 30 or 35. You got to kind of take that part of the game. Your offense has been very good to where you can at least even that out a little bit. But you got to establish dominance in that paint or you're going to lose to the Kings again.
And limit Murray and Herter from going off as well from outside the arc. If you could just –
No double teams. Don't go under the screen. Don't go over the screens. I should say under or over, depending on where the position is. Those are the things that are all technique and homework and fundamentals. Make sure you don't leave those guys open. Play hard and stay in front of them. If you can do that,
now the second part is. Well, I was going to say now the Sacramento Kings are almost. I don't want to say that they have the same record that they did last year, but they're not that far off. But I don't see, as far as record-wise, but I don't see them quite as good as they were this time last season when they were leading the Pacific Division. I don't see them as gelling as much or as well as I don't see them as dominant as they were last year, because last year I thought they could really make some noise in their first year back into the playoffs. This year, I think it's where a team where, again, I don't know if they'll be the Lakers or someone else stepping into the play, into the fray, but I think the Kings are not – nobody's really scared of the Kings going into the playoffs.
I think where the Kings screw up a lot is they – their last two losses were against the Rockets and the Bulls. They kind of have a little bit of the Laker thing without any reason to have it. I'm sorry, as good as Fox and Malik Monk and Sabonis are, they're not LeBron and AD. But they have this entitlement mentality too, where they feel like they don't need to focus on the Houston Rockets and the Bulls games. How do you not? And then, of course, they don't play well at home. They're 18 and 12 at home. That they should be a team that gifted offensively, especially with the home crowd and role players always playing well at better at home versus on the road. Those guys shouldn't have lost more than six at this point at home. And if you
win, and that could be an advantage for the Lakers.
I don't know. No, it's not an advantage to the Lakers because the Lakers don't match up well with them and the Kings play up to them. That's the issue there. Well, if it changes in the playoffs, things always change in the playoffs. If the Lakers were to play the Kings in the playoffs, I believe it's a different story. It's very similar to when I remember, if you look at the record, Michael Jordan and the Bulls' record against Utah back in the 90s was not good. He actually has a losing record against both Stockton and Malone when it comes to the regular season. But what happened when they met in the finals? It's a different story. I believe that if the Lakers met the Kings in the playoffs, the Lakers win in six or seven, even though they match up well because of the atmosphere, because pressure. And I believe in the end, LeBron and AD are going to be outperform Malik Monk and Sabonis or De'Aaron Fox. What the Kings can do this year, if they are to, let's say, solidify the sixth seed, there's a very good chance they can win that series, especially with Karl Anthony Towns likely not playing in the first round. So if they get the sixth seed and they play Minnesota, the third seed, I could see the Kings winning that series. And then, speaking of Lakers and Kings, let's just say the Lakers get the seventh seed, play Oklahoma City, upset them. Then you have a Kings-Lakers second-round series.
That would be very enticing for the Lakers.
Don't ask me. I have no life, folks. I work. I'm a family man. And I love sports. Don't ask me why this stuff interests me. Sometimes I feel like I don't know enough on top of it. That's the hilarious part.
Well, you're certainly giving the fans out there some great knowledge, and everybody in the audience is sitting there and I'm
reading this stuff. You're looking at the scenarios. Sometimes I'll be on the show here looking at stuff, thinking of ideas, and then I'm sitting there going, what the hell am I doing? Really? This is what I'm thinking about? What might happen in the second round in the playoffs?
Alan's funny. Joe just described a life after saying he has no life. Once again, it is.
Sometimes it just dawns on me. I'm stunned. Whatever.
No worries, my friend. But it is the Lakers fast break. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be on for playback.tv/Lakers fast break. Also, as well, of course, post game and then Lakers nightcap. But Joe, tomorrow I will actually be visiting Kobe's statue tomorrow to check out to see if the grammatical errors have been fixed as of yet, because that's been a source of conversation. How do you spend all that money into creating a statue for one of the greats in Kobe Bryant and manage to screw it up so badly?
I'm in astonishment at this being what it is. And the statue isn't particularly done very well either. I don't know what they did. I really don't. I don't know what they did. It's surprising that this I'm surprising that something like this was so inadequately managed. You just put up really beautiful banners up not too long ago. You honored the old Stanley Cup-like championship, where you honored the five Minneapolis Lakers championships as well as the 1972 championship. You separated the banner to five banners up there from Minneapolis. You do all this and do it really well, yet you screw up the Kobe statue. I don't know why it happened. Were they too embarrassed to say anything? Did anybody proofread it? I don't know, but it's a minor issue in life, but I just think it's funny that it happened.
That's crazy, man. I don't understand why you, and for something so important and so expensive to make and create, how you could have somebody not go over it with a fine tooth comb, you know, Q&A as far as that's concerned, just be able to make sure everything's okay before you put that out there before the world. Just absolutely just. There's articles on it. I did actually post one intel on Facebook at the Lakers Fast Break on I don't know what the specifics are on it, but yeah, I put the actual article on them messing up grammatical errors on Kobe's statue. So I'll be there tomorrow to take a look at it.
Eduardo, LeBron is not getting a statue in LA unless he wins one more championship. That's my prediction.
Unless, I did see that, Alan.
Unless he plays 10 years, which, based off of Jeannie putting her head on his shoulder, might be happening.
Yeah, he had. That's another talk of the Lakers talk out there as far as the other day when he was sitting out and had Linda Rambis on one shoulder and Jeannie Buss on the other. That's a man who looks like he's about ready to collect on a 3-year extension, Joe.
Yeah, 3-year extension where you can opt out after next year like every other contract he's ever had. I don't know.
Sometimes it's good to be the king.
If you're going to do that, you better make sure you have a plan to get a third guy and still have depth.
You can't do that if you've got over $100 million tied up on two guys. That's really hard to do.
LeBron, if you're paying attention, LeBron likes to pay attention to stuff, right? That's why he's always tweeting stuff and kissing everybody's ass. Well, you saw what Patrick Mahomes did today for his team. Freed up $21.6 million in cap space by moving his money a little bit forward. Remember, when they restructure folks in the NFL, they're not taking less money. They're just shifting it forward. And Patrick Mahomes sees what's coming. The Chiefs had a down year this year and won a Super Bowl. He also has a chance to do something that's never been done before. And that's win three straight Super Bowls. So he's making sure he has every opportunity to have a shot at that by opening up the wallet so that he can get a receiver this time. And LeBron has a chance to opt out and maybe take less money so that this team can have some depth so that he can go and win his fifth championship. Will he do it? We're going to find out. It's a foregone conclusion that LeBron's coming back. I think we feel pretty comfortable with that, right?
Yeah, I do.
So the question will be, if he truly cares about winning a championship, he will take a considerable pay cut to allow his Jeannie and Rob to go get somebody on top of trading for somebody. They need depth if they are to do that, and they need a little bit more money. So there you go. That's where that's.
So let me ask you this. If the Lakers don't make a long run, well, actually, do you think whatever LeBron gets or LeBron takes as an extension or a contract in the summer, is going to be dependent on how far they get into the playoffs this time around as well. If they are an early exit, will that weigh more into him maybe giving up less money so that the Lakers can go ahead and sign more people?
I don't believe so, because Genie doesn't want to lose the star power. LeBron is a cash register who can still perform. So for her, she's looking at it as, well, I'm not going to trade LeBron, and then I have to deal with AD then maybe wanting to leave, because then I'm going to go back to the Rob Sacre era again. She's not going to do that. And the draft situations now are getting worse and worse.
2 years from now, it's much better than this coming year. Spell that way.
Playing to lose is the most cancer-inducing way of doing anything. It creates losers mentality. It's not fair in the NBA where you have to do that. You're either really bad or you're really good. The middle part is where you kind of get stuck in purgatory. But what the 2016-2017 seasons did, and it started really before that even a little bit, but especially those 2 years, it was absolutely dreadful. It was a loser franchise, loser mentality, loser players, not in terms of who they are, loser players in terms of winning for the Lakers. And it builds, it creates a cancer of losing, and having it flip right away is very difficult. If you don't believe me, you can watch all these teams the last 20 years try and do that. And what's the result? Who has really sucked and come up? Who has purposely sucked for a while and come up? I'll give you an example. How far have the Sixers gone by playing the process since they started? I'll tell you where. The second round in the East. They've never hit even the Eastern Conference Finals, even in that weak-ass conference. So all that losing that they did, yeah, they had Ben Simmons. Yeah, they have Embiid. Yeah, they have Maxey. Yeah, they have the bust, the number one bust, full. Why am I drawing a blank? Who's the first pick that was a bust that's in Orlando?
Markelle Fultz.
Markelle Fultz, there you go. So they had all this stuff, all this losing, all this stuff to build this process team. What did it do? You're still losing. So that's why he's coming back. Because they'd rather have that star power and maybe have a shot at it versus just starting over and sucking for 3 or 4 years until they get lucky getting a star.
And that's going to be a problem, because again, as I've said before, there's going to be quite a few teams with some assets. As Frank will tell you, for his team, Dallas, there'll be a lot of teams out there with some assets that can trade. You know, let's say Trae Young goes out on the marketplace, or someone else, Donovan Mitchell, or someone else of that level that could be a great number two, number three guy. That's going to be a problem, because Joe, there's a lot of teams out there, primarily New Orleans, primarily OKC, that can offer a lot more than what the Lakers can offer, even with three number one picks.
Yeah, but I'm not concerned about. No one wants to go to Oklahoma City. No one wants to go to Minnesota. No one wants to go to maybe the Clippers a little bit, especially with the new arena and it's still LA, but no one wants to go to those places. Come on, let's get real here. If somebody has a chance.
Well, if they're being traded, they won't have a choice.
If let's say, I'm just using him as an example. I don't believe he's coming or we're going after him. Let's say Trae Young has a choice to go to Minnesota, New Orleans, Charlotte, or Utah. Where do you And then the Lakers are interested. You think he's not going to want to go to LA?
OKC is at the top of the Western Conference. Minnesota's at the top of the Western Conference.
Okay.
They're not as a bad destination as they once were.
How many marquee players have demanded to go to Oklahoma City in the last 20 years?
Yeah, but if the team's trading them.
I'm sorry, 17 years since they moved to Oklahoma.
Let's say like a Trae Young, for instance, because Josh Giddey.
The answer is zero. All right. Who's demanded to go to Minnesota? The answer is zero.
Nobody's going to be demanding to go there.
Who's demanded to go to New Orleans? Zero.
I'm telling you, they have the assets to get these guys, whether they want
to
go or not.
They don't give a damn about assets. If they want to have a choice to go somewhere, they're going to go, I want to go to L.A. They're not going to want to go to wherever there's assets. If they do that, then they're going to be like, well, I'm a free agent next year. I'm going to go test the market. Yeah, that's a good one, Kurt. That's a good one. Forgot about that one. So did Nikhil. Too much so. I remember thinking at that time, you did all this for Joe Smith? I mean, if you were going after, I don't know, Alonzo Mourning at the time, I'd say, yeah, well, you know, they risk it and it is what it is. But Joe Smith, come on, man. You should have known Mikhail didn't know what the hell he was doing right then. And then, of course, he actually made it even worse when he traded Kevin Garnett for 4 used toilets and a screen cleaner bottle.
Alan says he doesn't remember who Joe Smith is. He's probably one of the worst number one picks ever.
I wouldn't say he's one of the worst. He just wasn't a number one pick.
He didn't pan out as well as he should.
I think you could say from top to bottom, he was very mid. A guy named Joe Smith is pretty mid with that kind of name too. I mean, how many Joe Smiths are there in the country, you think? 4 or 5 million?
Yeah, I know Anthony Bennett was the worst
I've ever seen. Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett's worst. Markel Fultz, you know, those guys. Markel Fultz has now had a glamorous career either, so. But Joe Smith definitely was not worth the first number one draft pick.
And that's the sad part. See, look at Alan. See, Alan didn't know who the hell Joe Smith was, but he remembers that his wife was on OnlyFans. That's how bad his career went.
That's crazy.
Oh, Joe Smith, the guy that had his wife go on this site. Yeah. Looks like he didn't save his money.
Felix, he's not going to make his intentions known until right around free agency, LeBron James. And he'll keep us all in suspense.
Yeah, Felix, there is no future for the Lakers right now. It's going to be AD and LeBron and then a mystery third guy, whoever ends up coming here in some kind of trade.
Can't be worse than Russell Westbrook. Let's just put it that way. At least we hope not. But we'll see. It is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Don't forget tomorrow. We've got John Costa in the afternoon, 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. Then, of course, tomorrow night, we've got our follow-along with the scoreboard and also the Lakers and Kings chat right there on Playback, playback.tv/LakersFastBreak, and the simulcast on Facebook and YouTube. And then, of course, the post-game. No better place to do it than right here at the Lakers Fast Break. And then Lakers nightcap. Will Intel get Joe obliterated with as many shots as he can go ahead and buy him off? You'll find out tomorrow night at Lakers nightcap. It's funny. Xbox said he gets paid. Watch out, Joe. That's like they're all targeting you or something, my friend.
Well, when you're on the top, you always get targeted more than those on the bottom.
Good point. That's a good point indeed. Felix says, how about them Dodgers? Jeannie needs to pay attention.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Felix, the Dodgers need to pay attention to Dave Roberts when it matters a little bit.
It always goes back. Joe's conversation with the Dodgers always goes back to Dave Roberts.
The only thing that matters in sports is, are you prime time when it matters? So we just brought up Mr. Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the baddest athlete in America. And there's really no one close. Why? Because when it matters, he shows up. And I'm about excellence. I'm not a Kansas City Chief fan. I wouldn't even say I'm a Patrick Mahomes guy. I'm not a guy to anybody. That's not my thing unless it's certain players on my team. But when you see greatness, greatness is clear. It's very clear. It's looking at it from a managerial standpoint or coaching, right? Manager, coach. You have Bruce Bochy, who had already won 3 World Series in San Francisco. Within 10 months in Texas, wins a World Series for a team that was continuing to underachieve no matter how much they spent. You think that was a coincidence that they decided to put it together because it just happened? No. They brought a leader in who knew what the hell he was doing managing, and they won a World Series. It matters. Managers, coaches, quarterbacks, these guys are the CEOs of their teams. They are the shot callers. They are the decision makers. They are very important. And when you don't have that, it's harder to win. You can get lucky sometimes, but you don't sustain greatness. You'll be a one-off, and that's it. Yeah, Andy Reid is good, Frank. He is. He's, in my opinion, the best offensive, the best head coach I've seen in my time calling the offense. Without even the Super Bowls in Kansas City made it official, but he was always a great offensive calling coach. He's the best. He's the best. He's the Bill Walsh of our era.
How can you argue with the results?
Bill Walsh was the 80s. Andy Reid has been the 2000s and the 10s and now the 20s. He's been the Tom Brady of coaches, if you had to put a comparison together. And of course, having that perfect weapon in his offense, it's not a surprise. In 7 short years, he's won 3 Super Bowls. It's just, imagine if he had gotten Mahomes in 2010 in Philly, something like that. He'd probably have 6-7 championships by now.
Yeah, Jeremy, we've seen Hauser play coming off the bench for the Celtics, providing some really good shooting. And it's been it makes a bad situation even worse for the Lakers, seeing how well they're playing. And will it mean for them an easy ride to the NBA Finals? Possibly, because they, as Joe said, and as I said, the Eastern Conference is, it does not look like anyone, including the Milwaukee Bucks, can match up with the Boston Celtics, Joe. And I'm just concerned that Boston will have such an easy ride compared to whoever comes out of the West, most likely the Nuggets, but whoever comes out of the West, because they'll be going through murderer's row while Boston will be having it free and easy over pretty much any team in the Eastern Conference.
I wouldn't say that yet. Boston has a knack of blowing it in the playoffs. But it looks like they are going to probably take the East, you know, regardless. But there's still that chance. However, if they meet Denver in the finals, they're going to get waxed.
Well, they matched up the other day, and you could see the problems with Boston, how well they match up against Jokic. So, yeah.
They're going to get creamed. They'll get creamed in five, possibly six at best if Tatum goes off. But as long as Denver gets there, and the Lakers are probably in good shape to not have to worry about the Celtics winning at all. Now, if something happens to Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr., which they've had injury issues in the past, then it gets scary. Then there's a little bit of evening out, possibly the Boston getting over that hump a little easier there. It's a scary season right now. And the Celtics have to make a decision this summer. Should they not win, it's probably going to be much more difficult for them to stack, even though they don't really have a lot of depth, but still have this much talent in the starting lineup. Because they're going to have a lot of money allocated to just two players. Supermaxes for two players, it's going to be a problem. They're going to have to shed some salary unless they want to pay that massive tax.
If they don't win, Joe, they're going to have to definitely think about it, because they will be signing Tatum to that Supermax come the summer. That will put them in that second tax apron, and they won't be able to do much as an organization. So they'll probably have to move Brown would probably be the case.
If they're smart, they have to move Brown, even out the, and it's going to be easier to do that if they don't win this year. Because they'll finally say, look, we gave these guys 6 years to win a championship. They got close, but we're going to have to do something here. And trading Jaylen Brown is probably going to be the way to go, and maybe spread out that talent a little bit there.
How well is Isaiah Thomas doing in the G League, Jeremy? I have not seen. I know he signed in the G League, but I don't know how well he's doing. If he's going off for 20, 25, 30 a game. If he is, then, you know, maybe he can find his way back on the league, but we'll see. But yeah, it is the Lakers and the Sacramento Kings tomorrow night. Looking forward to a great matchup. Looking forward to a win, seeing if the Lakers can slow down and at least get the upper hand on Sacramento. Because, again, Joe, it is a very important game for the Lakers. If the Lakers don't win tomorrow, I think you could pretty much kiss anything outside of eighth place. At the highest, I think the Lakers can go and move up as eighth place, because they don't have the tiebreakers to go ahead and move beyond Sacramento. So that's the case, and they don't win tomorrow.
I wouldn't say that completely. It's a road game against a good team. Losing to the road team that's really, really good is somewhat understandable. What they're going to have to do, though, is they're going to have to win the remaining four games at home after this game. They're playing Golden State, Atlanta, Philly, and Indiana, and they're going to be favored in every one of those games. They have to win those games if they don't win tomorrow. Then they have to win four out of the next six on the road, and then try and win four of the last five to finish the season. So where does that put them? That puts
you. That's 12 and four, most likely.
That puts them at four losses and 12 wins. Four losses and 12 wins. That probably gets them a seventh seed.
Yeah.
That probably gets them to a seventh seed. It squeaks them probably by one game. If they do that, then they have to win one game to stay out of that eighth seed, and then they have a shot. It's a really crappy situation. I told you guys, they have to win 50 games to get that sixth seed, which means they have to only lose two games the rest of the way, which is just, and four games is just, that's even asking for a lot. You're asking them to win 12 of 16 games this late in the season?
That's a tough ask.
When you still have nine road games out of those 16 left, and a lot of those road games are going to be deep northeast, deep east, back-to-backs twice, 3 days off in six games. They're going to have to pull something out of their butts, hearts, and brains to accomplish success in that scenario. Party time.
Yes. Anyone near Knockout Pizza on Thursday, let us know, because that's where Joe and I will be hanging out on Thursday afternoon. So, yeah. In Carlsbad.
Carlsbad. So it's going to be a knockout in Carl's at Carlsbad
on Thursday. So, yeah, if anyone out there's nearby, let us know. Join us.
Everyone here is from everywhere.
Yeah, I got Australia, you got Canada, you got Europe, you got South America, you got the Philippines, you got the US. Well, we're going there because our good friend Darren in the chat, he suggested it, Jeremy. So we're going to give it a try. We're going to give it a try.
Kurt, I had TJ Oyster today. It was good. It was so good. I went to go get my haircut. My haircut lady has a little salon at her house. And got a
Chula
haircut.
Chula Vista, you said, right?
Chula Vista, yeah. And I went and got 4 tacos and a Mexican Coke.
We were at the La Jolla Cove. There were some good fish tacos down there. So, yeah.
There's no such thing. There's only one spot. I had four smoked tuna tacos, fish tacos, 4, and a Mexican Coke. Guess what it cost me? $28.
Jeez, mine cost $17.
That's how good they are. That's how good they are. The best that have ever been created.
We'll give the garlic knots a try, Darren. For you, my friend. Yes.
Oh, yeah, Jay, you could make it down on Thursday to Knockout, right, Jay? Jordan Brown. He lives closer.
Kurt Affair, Lucha Libre, probably not this time around. I do love Lucha Libre though. Absolutely best burritos. We may on Thursday now, because we're on Knockout Pizza on Thursday. Maybe tomorrow. I'm not sure. If I can't do it, I'll do it tomorrow for Lucha Libre before I head up to LA to go check out Kobe's statue.
Lucha Libre.
Yes, excellent, excellent food there as well, Joe. Burritos there, kick ass.
I'll have to check it out someday.
Jordan Brown says he thinks so. So
good. Maybe you can come with me. Just come to the pad. I can't imagine what a fish taco is like. Sounds gross. I'm used to regular meat. Jeremy, it doesn't taste like fish. That's the beauty of it.
Yes.
It tastes like steak. That's the beauty of it. I'm not a fish guy either. But this stuff is off the chain, man. Believe me. Believe me, you. Believe you, me. You will eat this and think you were eating steak. That's how good they are.
The one place you don't want to go here in Carlsbad is the food mill. There's a food mill with like about 12 different places under one roof. You can order your food from all these different places and get all. Yeah. I had some fish tacos, carne asada tacos. Yeah, they were bad. They're bad. Really? Yeah, don't go there. Yeah, the food mill in Carlsbad. Yeah. Meh.
You know they're bad?
Meh. It's just, you know, we had like, I think between us, we had like Thai. We had, like I said, Mexican. You had some other stuff as well from different places there. And yeah, they were all just meh. Meh. It's one of those places you go in, it's like, wow, they have all this different places there. And it's just like, you know, it's like a generic buffet. Just because you do serve things from around that originate from around the world, doesn't mean it tastes like it's from around the world.
Well, the McDonald's way of making food is always going to have that scenario. You want to stick with someone who makes hamburgers, someone who sticks and makes chicken sandwiches, someone who makes this. Generally, those guys are going to master what they do well, and you're going to get a better taste versus someone who does everything. It's just not enough. It's like jack of all trades, but masters of none. mentality.
That's true. And it was very masters of none at the food mill here in Carlsbad. So thumbs down for that. But you know what? We're going to probably say thumbs up to
Darren's suggestion. You know, one of those guys that gets on Yelp and like, I had this hamburger here and oh my God, it was terrible. I'll never come back here. Are you one of those guys?
Rarely. Very rarely. Only if I get jacked up. And it's usually service wise, only if I get jacked up. Because I know how much it throws off. Like for instance, our 5-star reviews. It's not a 5-star review. Right now we're rated 3 right around 4.
Phil's sucks.
A lot of people hate you.
Phil's barbecue sucks. I don't like the sauce.
Bloodhound, we do have some great Thai in Las Vegas. Yes, we do. There's some places I highly recommend. If you ever come to Las Vegas and you want Thai, give me word up and I'll point you out some places. Good places.
You know what the best part about sinblades.com is? Sinblades with a Y.com is? For those of you who can click on another window, click on it and see the title, see the banner on the top. And you guys will see how I feel about Yelp.
Only if they piss me off, not because of their bad. Only if they piss me off. So.
Who? Hodad's is good.
Yeah, only if I've only done it like 2 or 3 times.
What?
Yelp.
Yelp is an extortion scumbag piece of garbage company. They deserve to burn.
Burn.
I told the lady on the phone, I didn't say burn, but I said, you guys suck. I don't want to ever affiliate myself with your company. Why? What happened? I'm new here. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you guys extort your clients. You guys will never touch a bad review that makes no sense and you have proof of it. But the second you get one good review, did you put enough pictures in there? Did you do this? Did you do that? Is this real? Is this that? Is this that? No, screw you. If you're going to play that same, you're going to play that game of extortion, then you can suck it. I don't need your freaking reviews. Yelp sucks. Yep.
Alan, Joe is a Disney villain. Joe is definitely a Disney villain.
I'm the anti-hero.
There you go.
I'm the anti-hero hero.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. But Joe, big game tomorrow. Any last thoughts before we head on out, my friend?
No.
No. Thought you'd come with something. Jordan says, no, Joe is a mobster.
Only on TV. Like I told, you know, Jordan knows this better than anybody. All you got to do is watch Michael Francis on YouTube. He's got a lot of good shows, ex-couple for the Colombo family. He tells everybody the truth about that life. And it's not like the movies, folks. It's just not. And for me, my personality, I may have the projection of that, but I don't mess around with stuff like that because I don't like looking over my shoulder all day. I like to live a normal life. I like to stay kind of under the radar as much as I can when I'm out there.
I don't see you and staying under the radar happening. It just never happens.
When I'm on a show, you can put on a show for something like this, but when I'm out shopping for apples and asparagus, I'm not out there going, is this a granny apple? Where's the produce guy? No, I look at the apple. This is good. Put it in my bag. Put it in the bag. Go to the checkout line. If I can get automated checkout, I'll do that. And then I'm out. I don't know. That'd be look, Darvin Ham's a big boy, man. He's 6'7" with a moon-sized head.
Joe's legit 6'3". I can tell that for sure. I can tell you that for sure. Because I'm 6'2", and he was still Still had to look up.
Tell the truth. You always tell the truth, no matter what. If you want to be a, if you want to be Billy Badass, if you want to be The Rock and say you're 6'5 when you're really 6'3, if you don't believe me, just look at the picture with him and Charles Barkley and Shaq. Be truthful.
I looked at the picture with him and John Cena the other day at the Oscars, and still a bit of a size difference there. John Cena.
John Cena's 6'1".
He doesn't look 6'1 to me. He looks like 6.
He might have shrunk. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, well, they shook hands behind the scenes. They got a picture of it, and Rock looks still like he was, like, towering over him.
Mm-hmm. I think he's 6'1", 6 feet tall. Hella strong, though.
Yeah.
He might be 5'11", for all I know. You know, the back, yeah, Hogan... He shrunk to what, 6'3", 6'4" now? From all those
back surgeries. Yeah.
Joe would beat Darvinham because he would need to ask someone what to do.
Not like he's taking a timeout.
That's funny.
Darren says he's 6'4", so he's actually taller than both of us, Joe.
He said he's 6'4 on Tinder. Or was that Dante?
I think that was Dante.
Or Alan. No, that was
no, Alan. Jeremy. Sorry, Jeremy. Jeremy is in Australia.
Jeremy says he's 6. The Rock is 6'3. Stallone is
He's 6'5. I thought Stallone Rock said he was 6'5.
Stallone is legitimately 5'7.
I thought Rock said he was 6'5. That's. Because, you know, in Miami.
With his wrestling boots.
Okay.
I think the Rock is 6'3".
Al says, you Giants need to stop talking about Joe. All right, we will. Sorry to rub it in on anyone out there. But it is the Lakers fast break. It is Joe Sorrow, all 6'3 of him. It is me, Gerald Glassford, only 6'2". Who's the tallest in the chat? I see 6'4 is the tallest in the chat so far, Dante. So we'll just leave it at that. But it is the Lakers fast break. Tomorrow we got a full day for you. Please go ahead and support John Costa tomorrow at 2:30. So I've got it scheduled at 2:30 unless he tells me to change it. It is 2:30. And then later in the evening, it is, of course, the Sacramento Kings, the Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers looking to go ahead and put one back on the Sacramento Kings on the road in Sacramento. And then, of course, post game with Joe and I, and also as well, of course, Lakers nightcap. I don't know if I should stream. I'll probably just take pictures from Kobe's statue to see if there's any errors, but we'll see. Curious to see if there's still a line going ahead just to take pictures there with Kobe. We'll find out. But it's the Lakers fast break. Thanks so much again for joining us. It is, of course.
Take the statue first, if they can. Not the writing either. Like the face and the arm. The arm looks like it's a foot too long. What the hell did they do? They really screwed that up.
But you haven't seen it live yet.
No. I still think the best statue is Elgin Baylor.
Okay.
Elgin Baylor's statue is freaking gorgeous.
Well, if anybody's listening out there on Thursday, Jordan, we'll be there at Knockout Pizza. Still determining the time, but probably early afternoon, like around 12, 1, 2 in that area. So we'll go ahead and see if we can get a shot.
I believe you're 5'9", honestly.
Maybe after all those drinks, we'll see what happens. But it is the Lakers fast break. Please join us tomorrow for all the fun. A lot of stuff going on. Of course, starts off with John Costa tomorrow. Greatly appreciated him stopping by. Go ahead and hosting Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk on the Lakers fast break channel. And then, of course, topping off your evening is us with the Lakers and the Kings. Joe, great to have you here as always, my friend. Looking forward to hopefully a big win for the Lakers tomorrow night. And I'm looking forward to some great conversation again with all of you out there right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.